October 26th through November 1st. Mormon chapters 1 through 6. I would that I could persuade all to repent. As you read Mormon chapters 1 through 6, ponder what you learn from Mormon's example. Record what you feel inspired to do. Mormon spared us the full account of the awful scene of wickedness and bloodshed that he saw among the Nephites. See Mormon chapter 2, verse 18, and chapter 5, verse 8. But what he did record in Mormon chapters 1 through 6 is enough to remind us how far righteous people can fall. Amid such pervasive wickedness, no one could blame Mormon for becoming weary and even discouraged. Yet through all that he saw and experienced, he never lost his sense of God's great mercy and his conviction that repentance is the way to receive it. And although Mormon's own people rejected his pleading invitations to repent, he knew that he had a larger audience to persuade. "Behold," he declared, "I write unto all the ends of the earth." In other words, he wrote to you. See Mormon chapter 3, verses 17 through 20. And his message to you today is the same message that could have saved the Nephites in their day. Believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, repent, and prepare to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. See Mormon chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. Ideas for personal scripture study. Mormon chapter 1. I can live righteously despite the wickedness around me. Beginning in the first chapter of Mormon, you will notice major differences between Mormon and the people around him. As you read Mormon chapter 1, consider contrasting the qualities and desires of Mormon with those of his people. Note the consequences that came to him and them. You'll find one example in verses 14 through 15. What do you learn that inspires you to live righteously in a wicked world? As you read Mormon chapters 2 through 6, continue to look for how Mormon demonstrated his faith in Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, despite the evil influences around him. Mormon chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. Godly sorrow leads to true and lasting change. When Mormon saw his people's sorrow, he hoped they would repent, but their sorrowing was not unto repentance. See Mormon chapter 2, verse 13. It was not the kind of godly sorrow that leads to real change. See 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 11. Instead, the Nephites felt worldly sorrow. See Mormon chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. To understand the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow, consider making a chart where you can record what you learn from Mormon chapter 2, verses 10 through 15 about these two types of sorrow. Your chart might look something like this. Please refer to the chart found on page 167 in the manual. In the first column, there is the heading Godly Sorrow, and an example is Comes to Jesus from verse 14. In the second column, the title is Worldly Sorrow, and an example is Curses God from verse 14. As you reflect on what you learn, consider how it can influence your efforts to overcome sin and become more like Heavenly Father and the Savior. See also Dieter F. Uchtdorf, You Can Do It Now, in the Ensigner Liahona, November 2013. Mormon chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 9. I should always acknowledge God's hand in my life. Mormon recorded a weakness he saw in the Nephites. They failed to acknowledge the ways the Lord had blessed them. President Henry B. Eyring urged us, quote, to find ways to recognize and remember God's kindness. Pray and ponder, asking the questions, did God send a message that was just for me? Did I see his hand in my life or the lives of my children? I testify that he loves us and blesses us more than most of us have yet recognized, end quote. See, Oh, Remember, Remember, from the Ensigner Liahona, November 2007. As you read Mormon chapter 3, verses 3 and 9, you might ponder how you are acknowledging God's influence in your life. What blessings come when you acknowledge his influence? What are the consequences of not acknowledging him? See Mormon chapter 2, verse 26. Mormon chapter 5, verses 8 through 24. Chapter 6, verses 16 through 22. Jesus Christ stands with open arms to receive me. The Nephites rejected Mormon's teachings, but he had hope that his record would influence you. As you read Mormon chapter 5, verses 8 through 24, and chapter 6, verses 16 through 22, what do you learn about the consequences of sin? What do you learn from these passages about Heavenly Father's and Jesus' feelings toward you, even when you sin? How have you felt Jesus Christ reaching out to you with open arms? What do you feel inspired to do as a result? Ideas for family scripture study and family home evening. As you read the scriptures with your family, the Spirit can help you know what principles to emphasize and discuss in order to meet the needs of your family. Here are some ideas. Mormon chapter 1, verse 2. What does it mean to be quick to observe? You can find insights in Elder David A. Bednar's article, Quick to Observe, in the Ensign, December 2006. How was the gift of being quick to observe a blessing to Mormon? How can it be a blessing to us? Mormon chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 and verse 15. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Do the children in your family understand that they can develop great spiritual qualities and power even though they are young? Mormon's example could help them. Consider making a timeline of Mormon's childhood and youth, using the ages and events given in Mormon chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 and verse 15, and in chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. As you discuss Mormon's qualities and experiences, point out qualities your children have that inspire you and others around them. Mormon chapter 2, verses 18 through 19. What words did Mormon use to describe the world he lived in? How did he maintain hope despite the wickedness around him? How can our family do the same? Mormon chapter 3, verse 12. How did Mormon feel about the people around him even though they were wicked? What can we do to develop the kind of love he had? Mormon chapter 5, verse 2. Why might we hesitate to call upon Heavenly Father when we are struggling? What can we do to rely on Heavenly Father more? Mormon chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. To help your family visualize what it means to be driven about as chaff before the wind, see verse 16. Tear a piece of paper into small pieces and let family members blow them around. Explain to them that chaff is a husk that comes off a seed, and it is light enough to be blown around. How is being without Christ and God in the world, see verse 16, like being chaff in the wind? For more ideas for teaching children, see this week's outline in Come Follow Me for Primary. Improving our teaching. Teach clear and simple doctrine. The Lord's gospel is beautiful in its simplicity. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 133, verse 57. Rather than trying to entertain your family with extravagant lessons, make sure that what you teach is centered on pure and simple doctrine.